Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Science of Yes with your hostess, Pam Heath, the Yes Coach.
Why don't you say yes?
Each week, Pam will speak about the energy of yes and how you can use it to create an extraordinary, prosperous life that you will absolutely love. Pam has spent a lifetime creating and leading transformational programs and is passionate about making abundance available for everyone through the power of yes. Callers are welcome, and we invite you to like Pam's show before leaving the program. So, open your mind and open your heart and be ready to receive what is possible for your friend, the Yes Coach.
Well, good evening, everybody. This is Pam Heath, the Yes Coach, and welcome to the Science of Yes. I'm your hostess. I'm the Yes Coach, Pamela Heath, and every week we examine the energy of yes and how you can leverage it in your life to manifest anything you want, abundance, power, miracles. I'm a life coach and a business coach, and what I specialize in, I help you break down the emotional barriers that block you from whatever you're committed to achieving in life. And my background is in personal development, communication, team management, and organization, and I couple that with years of empowering individuals to achieve the life of their dreams. And I spend every week here with you, my audience, encouraging you to take on life in the energy of yes. Welcome to my show. I'm so excited to have you here. I'm excited because you're here listening, and I'm also excited because I have very, very special guest stars tonight that we're going to talk to about the energy of yes and what they're bringing to their career. There are two very, very dynamic photographers. Their name are Day and Dallas, and I can just tickle pink that they're here on the show today. Welcome to the Science of Yes, Day and Dallas.
Hey, how are you, Pam?
Look at that. They're whooping and hollering. You think they was up to something over here. Oh, my goodness. You know, I'm thrilled to have you guys because, number one, I'm impressed with you guys are master photographers. I'm really impressed with your skill, with accomplishments, and I was wondering if you would share with people a little bit about your background and what you're up to before we have you, you know, talk to people about what it is that you're creating during this pandemic and how, despite the fact that you're in a career that creates, you know, the need to be directly in contact with people, that you're still managing yourself in the power of yes. So tell us a little bit about your background.
Well, we are commercial beauty and fashion photographers, originally based in New York, and we made the move to Los Angeles, California. We major in beauty photography, commercial beauty photography, commercial fashion photography. We also do music videos, instructional videos, and actually produce music. So we're pretty much a two-man group as a multimedia company. And that's what that's it in a nutshell.
Don't mind me. Could you guys just say which one is talking when you're talking so the audience knows?
You got it. This is Dallas. And
welcome. And I wanted to go, Dallas.
So I'll do that when I speak. This is Dallas, and I'll say this is Dallas when I speak now. Yeah.
Okay, good. And then, Dave, anything for you?
He said basically everything. We're both commercial fashion and beauty photographers. We shoot everything. We shoot everything. We just make sure we shoot it well. Been shooting for almost, Dallas has been shooting for over 20 years.
About 30 now.
For me, it's been like 15.
Ooh.
So, yeah. Made the move to California to chase our dreams.
Well, you know, you came to California to pursue your dreams and your partners in crime. And, you know, obviously, you know, as photographers, you're out there taking pictures of celebrities and very powerful, incredible people. Is there anything you want to share with us, with us about people you've got to shoot?
This is Day. We had an opportunity to shoot Idris Elba, Jamie Hector,
Jamie Foxx,
Tamar Braxton,
Horace Chestnut, Regina Hall.
What's the dancer name? Debbie Allen.
Debbie Allen, yes. This is Dallas. It's so funny when people ask us for the resume because it's like, just go to my page.
Like, I don't know.
Because I don't know sometimes. And then once you make us start calling up things, it's like, yeah,
we did do a lot of stuff out here.
It surprises us sometimes.
All the time.
Wow. So if somebody was sitting here today and they were thinking about making themselves a career as a photographer, like they like to take pictures, but they want to take it to the next level, what would be a piece of advice that either of you or both of you would give to someone just starting out right now?
This is Day. I would say by learning your camera, start by understanding the history of photography, start studying art history, paintings, because they were our grandfather photographers. Start understanding emotion in photos. Start understanding emotion in pictures. You know, sometimes when we look at movie posters, without there being any words, the photo gives off an energy that lets you know what type of movie is it going to be. It can be dark, and you'll say, okay, this right here feels like it's going to be a horror. Or it can be really, really bright and softly lit, and you say, oh, this right here feels like a romantic. And it all those things are on purpose and for a reason, and we receive hundreds of thousands of photos per day that make us feel all the types of ways. And if you're going to be a photographer, you should learn how to create those moments and create those feelings. And that's what I would say.
Another thing, this is Dallas, which is far more important because he covered all the down and dirty marks of it, but understanding your intent. Once you say, I want to be this photographer, you should eat, breathe, and live in that universe.
Absolutely.
Because that's far more important, because when we started up as photographers, I didn't wake up one day and say, oh, I want to be a fast photographer. I just wanted to be a photographer, and that became my intent. And then it morphed and molded into where we are today.
Yes. Mine was running. This is Day. I was running from being a photographer because at the time I was a musician, and when people would say, oh, he's a photographer, I was like, no, I'm not. Don't call me that. I didn't earn that title. I didn't go through what a photographer, what I've gone through. Like, don't call me that. That title, I didn't put in my hours. So we spend the majority of our time studying. So study. Get your chops up. 10,000 hours is more than that, but yeah.
So when you
I hope
study,
that answers the question.
Study what? Study who? Is there a particular course of education that you need to pursue in order to call yourself as you guys are master photographers?
This is Day. It's more like study the past. Like what happened is nowadays we have these digital. Everybody can get a camera. It's so easy to get a camera, and everybody picks up the camera and they start shooting. Just because you have the camera at your face and you're shooting all over the place doesn't necessarily make you a photographer. It's one of those things where you have to study where it started from and learn from there, understanding lighting, understanding what ISO is, understanding what aperture is, understanding what a shutter speed is, understanding light, sunlight, moods, colors, paintings. It's deeper than just picking up a camera. It's a journey, and if you're going to go on your journey, start with the past and work your way up. Learn from the greats and then become better.
This is Dallas.
Mm-hmm.
When it comes to studying, once you open your eyes, you're studying. It's really that simple. Even as a child, Pam, even you had what you liked and what you didn't like, and that helped mold you to the person you are today. Some of us like black and white movies. Some of us like color movies. Some of us like romantic comedies. Some of us like science fiction. So all of that is what molds you into who you are as the person you are today. So there is no formula to say you must study this. Your whole life is a study of images. From the moment you wake up until the moment you go to sleep, you are bombarded by images all day long, who you are. If you see something you don't like, you reject it. You even turn away from it. If you could be watching a video, God forbid, of a dog being tortured. That is not what you want to see.
Mm-hmm.
So you turn away from that. So that's already innate in your body, in your system. So study what you love, because that's where your artistry will come from.
They're always in love. We always say, see things in people with love, and that's how you know. You can tell if a person loves something or somebody because they shoot it well. You ever see a photo where a photographer shoots somebody and it's like, that's okay. And then you see that same photographer shoot somebody else, you're like, oh, what is this? She was phenomenal. It's not her. They fell in love.
Ooh.
It's very,
so
very,
are you
very
saying that what source is your pictures is love?
Yes. Any picture that I put forward is somebody I fell in love with for that split second to get that image.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I like you like lovemaking. It's my job to make you feel sexy, vulnerable, angry, happy. It's your job as my subject to give that back to me, and then it's my job to capture it. The better our captures, the better our lovemaking, which is our photo session, the better our babies are, and our babies are our photographs, and I don't want to make ugly babies. I want pretty babies every single time I pick up my camera.
You know, it's interesting because right now is a very difficult time for everybody with the pandemic and the quarantine, and for certain people, specifically for people who deal directly with individuals in their service providing, you know, it's like hard for a photographer, especially a master photographer like you, who can actually create the ability to take photography and to light the scene and have all that stuff going on. It would be so difficult for you to do that if you can't contact with people.
Yeah, unfortunately, I'm having to learn to love from a distance.
Yeah. That's what's so powerful. That's why I invited you to speak tonight. Every week we talk about what it is to generate a positive mindset in face of whatever life is you know, handing you. And right now life is handing you lemons and you're making lemonade by the buckets. So, you know, the thing that people are listening for when they listen to my show is I talk about having it all. I talk about generating whatever it is you want. And I tell people all the time, I'm not psychic. I don't do readings, but you'll be amazed how I can support and guide you. If you just tell me what you want, I'll tell you how to get it. If somebody were to come to you right now and say, I want to be a photographer, I've always wanted to be a photographer, but right now, you know, I'm just using my iPhone. Is it good enough? Do you need to go out and get a camera to start this career path?
This is Dallas. Cameras are nothing but tools, and we're constantly bombarded with, I have to have the latest and greatest in equipment, and that's not the case. I've seen some artistry come out of iPhones that will blow you away. So I don't necessarily talk about the gear, because the best camera you have, believe it or not, is your eye. That's your best camera. And what we do with the tool is try to recreate what we see with our eye. And that's where the magic really lies. So people think, I must have a $5,000 camera in order to get this image. And it's like, no, all you need is to understand what your eye does and recreate it with your tool. So please, when it comes to photography, it's not about the equipment. It's about the artist behind it, because I've known photographers who have hundreds and thousands of dollars worth of equipment, and they produce garbage photos. But they brag about the equipment. And then you have these kids who are coming out now, these wunderkinds that are coming out buying startup cameras, and they're killing it out there because they understand they want to promote their artistry. They don't want to and the medium just happens to be a photograph.
Yeah.
That's the difference. They're artists, and they're using photography as a medium. as opposed to this guy who has equipment and just wants to produce pictures.
It's different.
It's a feeling and different.
And it looks different.
And it looks different.
Look at the photos, too.
It really is. So I will never piss on an iPhone.
No.
Ever.
It's just startup. We all start from somewhere, and everybody starts from step one.
I'd rather have an iPhone camera than have no camera at all.
Yes.
And nowadays, these iPhones, you could practically make a movie with an iPhone. There's two cameras.
Gallery showing of people of iPhone photographs.
I think Lady Gaga shot her last video with an iPhone.
Yeah.
Yes, I noticed that, and it's impressive what some people are producing with their iPhones. I noticed that for myself, you know, when I take pictures, especially selfies, you know, how really great some of them look, and I don't know a thing about lighting or anything of that nature. I think it's,
but,
like you say, it's a tool.
I don't mean to cut you off, Pam, but you know what? You do know about lighting. All do. We know when we don't look good in light. Am I correct?
Mm-hmm.
So you know about lighting. You know what lighting looks good on you and what lighting doesn't. So everybody knows about lighting. They just don't realize they do.
That's a good point.
Bear that in mind.
You know,
how many times have you been in a situation and you said, "Ooh, this light looks good"? How many times have you had that?
To be honest, I couldn't tell you.
Yeah, it's because it happens every day. You can be in your car driving on Sunset Boulevard at that right time, and that light comes in that car, and you're like, I look really good in this light. Or you went into a bathroom in a high-end restaurant, and they have recessed lighting, and you look in that mirror when you're washing your hands, you're like, ooh, I like this light. I need this light in my house.
Mm.
So you know about lighting.
I know about lighting. I stand corrected.
Yes, you do.
You know, we're talking tonight with Day and Dallas. They're the incredible dynamic dual photographers, and they have brought the energy of yes to their career, and they're here to answer any questions you might have. So if you'd like to speak to Day and Dallas, you can give us a call. The call-in number is 760-888-5700. That's 760-888-5700. You guys, if you would like to tell people how they can reach out to you, right now we're all on quarantine, but people might be interested in what you have to say about guiding them or teaching them about photography and what they might want to take on right now inside of the pandemic. If there's any coaching or any support you can give them, they can reach you how?
By all means, this is Dallas. You can go to either of our websites. My website is dallasjlogan.com. And Day's website is dayhowerton.com, and that's dayhowerton.com. D-A-E, no, right?
H-O-W-E-R-T-O-N.
That's what I said.
No, you said W-H.
Yeah. No, W-H. Oh, I'm sorry. Howerton, no. It's dayhowerton. I apologize.
Okay, one more time, just in case people got caught up. So Day.
This is Day. DayHowerton.com, DayHowerton. See how I try to sabotage him?
Yeah, that was good.
We actually do teaching. I have a workshop called Light is Light, and it teaches how to light photographs and how to bring your photography to a professional level. Because of the pandemic, we had a class scheduled towards the end of June, and we don't know how things are going yet, but we're working on that. And we teach the motion of light, how to study light. We have we have models and makeup artists, and we actually teach you how to retouch. So we have a workshop that goes from soup to nuts. If you can't take the workshop, we also have a Light is Light ebook, which gives you lighting diagrams to create successful photographs. So all you have to do is follow the diagram, and you have successful images every single time. Lastly, Day actually teaches one-on-one retouching remotely, so he can teach you how to professionally retouch your photos, how the professionals do it in the industry, because it's not about filters and all that stuff. It's about professional-looking photographs, and he teaches you remotely using Photoshop and various other software programs.
Yeah, teach you how to do it naturally, so people shouldn't look at your images and think something has been done. They should look at the image and say, you look beautiful in your shot, you know. So I'll teach you how to do things naturally.
Okay. So is that something that they should look forward to when the pandemic is over, or is that something they can reach out to you right now and get hooked up?
You can reach out to right now because I teach remotely. So you're at home at your computer. I'm at home at my computer, and I go step-by-step teaching, retouching, and teaching color grading, color correction, composites, and a bunch of different things. And it's really, really, really fun and also a lot of information, but it's really, really worth it. And if you learn fast enough, when you learn and you become comfortable with what I teach, you can also use it as a second income because you can be a retoucher. So,
Twitter, we made lemonade out of lemons because we're sitting in the house driving each other crazy, and we decided to do what you guys do, and we started going live on Facebook and Instagram and not realizing that people wanted to hear what we had to say. So this past week or so, we actually been doing daily Facebook Lives talking about photography, and it's really taken off. We've done interviews with other photographers. We've done critiques. We've done Q&As.
Mm-hmm.
We discussed the life of photography. So if you want to join us, we have it's called the Daily Dose of Dallas and Day, and we usually start at around 11 o'clock Pacific Standard Time. And we go a couple of hours, and we cover a bunch of things.
And one topic per day.
It's one topic per day.
It's one thing that Dallas left out. We did one the other day that became extremely popular, got over 1,000 hits. We were speaking on business and licensing of photography. A lot of us shoot, and we want to work for these companies. And when the companies come to have a conversation with us about business, a lot of us don't know how to have those conversations, and they don't understand their rights, and they don't understand what they're supposed to get.
Because at that point, it's the business person talking to the artist, and the artist doesn't understand business.
Yeah, so that subject really, really, really took off because a lot of photographers had no idea. We had a mentee who we were advising, and she didn't listen. And let's just say she walked away from a $45,000 payout.
So it was a very expensive lesson for her.
Yeah, and she was really hurt, and she was upset. She was upset for two reasons, that she fought against us, even though we were screaming at her, telling her not to do it, and she didn't listen. And then when she finally had the conversation with the company, they asked her, did she get paid? And she said no. And then they began to laugh at her. Like, what? And they laughed. Like, really, really laughed. And they were like, well, we paid them double because the pandemic, you know, there's no photographers working. There's nobody working. And we saw your images, and they were great images. And we wanted them, and we doubled the, they asked us to double the pay, and we paid it. And you were in the budget. And so she had to take an L. So we taught during our lives.
So another thing we do, we actually teach you the business of photography.
Yes.
But the magic is, like with you, Pam, they have to listen and they have to be open to the information.
If you're not open, you're not ready, then it won't come through and you can be just as lost. It's really, really hard. It's not hard. It's not hard if you're open. It's really hard if you throw in doubt and you throw in all this other stuff that doesn't belong there. If you sit there and you listen and you take that advice, especially from people who we're working photographers in today's market. We're not
hobbyists.
Yeah, and it's not a theory. It's like, hey, I've had that contract before. I've been in a situation. Do this. And she didn't listen, and she had a rough three, four days, and I think all she wanted to do, like all she asked for, only thing we made sure that she got was her rights as far as she's not signing the photos over. She only asked for another shoot with that celebrity basketball player. And that's what she got. She got everything she wanted.
I got it. So, you know, I teach my clients inside of the Science of Yes to be open to receive, because a lot of times we as human beings, we have this thought that we want something and we think we know where it's going to come from.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're pointing ourselves in the direction of what we think is going to go down, and we're kind of blinded to where it might happen. But I tell people all the time, the universe has so many channels of how to provide. You know, you can walk out the door and what you need can come from any direction. So if there's something you're out to achieve, you remain open to receive it however it comes, and it will come without fail. And that is what I call the Science of Yes.
Amen. Absolutely.
Oh, and, we just went to church for a minute there.
Well, Pam, what made it so funny was, as the situation, we were in the situation at real time, how it went down was, we were doing a live, and she started bombarding us with text messages because they were bombarding her with emails. So I was trying to teach her, at this moment, you have the power. You have a product that they want. Let them sweat a little bit. And so as she's going through this, I'm telling her, your next email is going to say this. Your next email is going to say this. Your next, and it was like clockwork. And it was like, even as I was telling her, your next email is going to say this, she's getting the email alerts, and it's exactly what I'm saying. So if I'm telling you what's going on, you know I have some kind of information. I've been there. So why not just listen? Trust me, I know.
Yeah.
I've been there before. I played this game. And it's like, I'm telling you what they're going to say to you. And I'm telling you how it's going to go down. Trust me and believe me. And she hit us with the, her exact words were, I asked her, how do you feel? And she says, honestly, I feel like this is an opportunity and you guys are holding me back. And so when she said that, I made Dallas stop.
We had to step back.
I made our other friend, I said, stop, stop. What do you want? And she said, I want to go for this opportunity, and I'm going to go for it. And what else did she say? She wanted another photo shoot. I said, that sounds like a plan. And I told her, I said, this is going to be a lesson for you. I call it the $10,000 lesson. And then we had another live the following day. She said, I found out they were paying $45,000. I said, so it's now the $45,000 lesson.
Yeah.
And then
$45,000 lesson.
Yes. It's a great one. It's a great one.
It totally is.
So we teach everything from lighting, photography, emotion in photos, the background, your grandfather's photographer.
How to tone your ego down.
Yeah.
How to listen to your client.
Yes.
How to be a business person.
Yes. How to be a better
business
person.
You're a business person.
Even if you're a hobbyist, we'll teach you how to work that field for you. It's a bunch of things that we take for granted that we don't know how to navigate in business. Like we have a camera, you all just shooting, and you don't realize what you're doing has worth to it, and it has some sort of a wealth to it, and it's, you can actually make this into a career and actually live off of it. You're going to have to work hard like anything that's worth having, but at the end of the day, if you really want it, you can have it all. So,
and believe it or not, this is Dallas. The hardest lesson to teach with this industry is how to listen. That's the hardest lesson we've had, and we've had that lesson with every student I've ever had. I've only had one student that just shut the hell up and listened, and that was Day. They said, if you do this, this is where I want to be, this is what I want. And he's never fought me. But every other student I've ever had has fought me tooth and nail, and they have stymied their career path. They slowed it down because they want to be on the next level, but they don't want to take the time that it takes time to get there, and they were fighting all the way. I'm like, your success, like with you, your success can be better if you just take a moment and listen. And that's the biggest obstacle we go through every single day.
And it sounds like you have a great deal of commitment towards this industry that you're in, and that this whole thing, this connection you have to love, sourcing it all. it's part of the whole science of, yes, creation from the emotion and the environment of love.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Even if money wasn't an issue, I would still do what I'm doing.
Absolutely. If say tomorrow
we hit the lottery,
we hit the lottery and we never have to work a day of our life, we still will be working in this field. It's a pleasure. It's such an honor sometimes. And I didn't realize the responsibility I had, not just for like my family and taking family portraits, but other families. And these are things that they pass on. It's been times where you shoot a photo so well, and they say, listen, when I die, I want them to use this photo. Like, that's an honor.
Powerful.
We had a mentee who, it's unfortunate, but it was, like I said, it's such an honor. A friend of hers, her husband was passing away. He was in hospice, and they asked her to come in and to take photos. And she went and she took the photos, and it just was, it was so sad. But the photos are so beautiful. It's been times where we shoot somebody that's, you know, that's a regular person to us at the time, at the moment, and then tomorrow they turn into, like, the biggest celebrity and everybody's looking at them different, and you get to photograph them before it happens, the ability of capturing our time, our family, what's going on. You have to tell those stories, and we take that very serious.
Mm.
This is Dallas. Even today's pandemic, the powerful images that are coming out there today, we have that responsibility. Like, we're watching the front line where the nurses and doctors are standing in the streets arguing with people who want to open up the cities. That's powerful.
Yeah.
When they're standing in front of vehicles, and these and the people in the cars and vehicles are screaming at the nurses and doctors, get out the way. We want to take the city back over. We're capturing history.
Yeah.
And it may be a simple iPhone shot, but that simple iPhone shot can reverberate around the world.
And it can be there for years.
And so the children of today, the children that are going to be born in this pandemic, they're going to go back when they're teenagers in their 20s and their 30s, and they're going to see what the world was like back then, and the only way they can see the world is through photographs.
Yeah.
That's how important and how powerful photography is, and I don't take that responsibility lightly. We can take all the pretty pictures of models in the world and waterfalls and flowers, but the magic and the power is the storytelling.
Mm.
How to tell a story and how to get your point across, and that's what's happening in the world today. When we had, like, all the racial unrest and photographs on the racial unrest, and that woman stood in the middle of the street. I can't recall her name, and she was standing in front of the National Guards, and her shield was her hand. Remember that photo? She stood in the middle of the street and she just put up her hand. The humanity of that reverberated around the world. It didn't matter if you're black, white, Chinese. It didn't matter. We saw the power in that image.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why I'm a photographer. It's things like that.
Game changers.
Yeah, it reminds me when you speak about that of all the, throughout history, all the pictures that have defined turning point moments in our lives, in our culture, you know,
mm-hmm.
that you could look at those pictures, like the picture of John F. Kennedy's son at his funeral.
Exactly.
Bleeding. And they're iconic because, you know, like you said, it's really poignant what you pointed to. You could talk about beautiful models and that sort of thing, but when you look at photography, it is a record of history. And you think back at some of these iconic photographs and you realize it was photographers that brought it to life. And there are certain things that you cannot help but recognize as part of the human condition.
Right, the fact of our words.
Exactly.
So
it's really profound.
Cavemen drew on walls. We have photographs. We have people who came in and they did paintings. They have sculptures. We have photographs.
Exactly. It's remarkable, and the thing that I'm most present to is that it's like I'm in awe of your ability to capture this and have it be available for people for all time. It's like something you do that it's a legacy for you. When you're long gone, your photographs will remain behind.
Yeah. You're absolutely
right.
So,
guys, I don't know how you are to question. We have a couple of callers that have logged on and want to ask you questions. Is it okay? Can I check in with the
you're
people
right
who
here.
Want to talk to you? All right, 1 second, please. Hi, who's this? Hello? You're online on the Science of Yes with Dan Dallas. Who's this? Can you hear me? Well, they're not saying anything.
Okay.
Area code 917, talking to you. 917-538-8292. Talking to you. Who's this? Well, we're going to put them back on mute because they
That was a New York area code.
I know. That's why I wanted to talk to them first, because I figured it was somebody from New York, because you were talking about coming from New York and coming to L.A. to pursue your dream. And I can't help but think that some people in New York would have thought that a photographer would find a lot of benefit in being in New York, since that's where Broadway is.
Oh, absolutely. There's definitely – that's still home. We still make trips to New York. We still do work in New York. We still do business in New York. We still have family in New York. But we wanted to – you know, if you lived in one place all your life, we wanted to try something else and making it work on another coast. And we both had dreams to move here since we were, you know, younger. So why not? Let's do it now.
That's true. I mean, there's a lot to be said. I'm a West Coast gal, and I visited New York once, and I noticed that how busy it was. That's just how it landed for me. I was on whatever that boulevard is where the ticker tape is for Times Square.
Yeah, Times Square.
Oh, is that the name of it? So I was on Times Square. And we were standing there trying to decide what to do with ourselves. I was there for a conference. So the most of the time I was there for a week, and I was there at a conference. I only left the hotel twice. There's the time I was in the conference. And I left to go see the Statue of Liberty, which I was dying to see. And I left to go see the Empire State Building.
And how did you like it?
Well, I am afraid of heights. I chickened out. I chickened out. Me and my kids and my sister and her family were on our way up there, and then I chickened out and I left, and I did not go up.
So you experienced it from the ground.
Yes, from the ground. My sister and her family went up, and my kids were not going to go if I wasn't going to go. My kids were just kids then. Now my son is 32. So he probably doesn't even remember because he was in a stroller. But I've always been afraid of heights, and I thought I wanted to go to the top of the Empire State Building, and I looked up, and it just occurred like there was no end to it. I looked up, and I said, no, I'm not getting in that elevator.
So wait a minute. So the Queen of Yes said no?
That was when I was maybe. Back then, I was maybe.
Okay.
I was not yes back then. I was.
Let's interview you now. Would you go up there now?
Nope. Nope. There are things that I will not do. I will not jump out of an airplane. You cannot make me, and I will not go to the top of the Empire State Building unless draw. It was a big enough at stakeness. Like, for instance, if Idris Elba was up there and said he would kiss me if I went up there, I probably would go up there.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you have a price. Okay.
Definitely, if he was up there and he said, come on up, Pam, I probably would just bicycle it and go up there. There are things I will not do, and there are things that I would do any day of the week for a certain price.
That'll work.
Yes. I am very easily bought by a good-looking man.
Good to know. You lead with your heart. You have a heart of an artist.
Yes. Yes. I can be charmed. Absolutely,
good.
I can be charmed. And, you know,
that's my goal. My goal is to get you to the top of the Empire State Building.
Play that game. I will not run from you, but I will not run to you.
Oh, God, that's hilarious. I enjoy that.
You know, I am not – I am a very brave, courageous individual, but I am not adventurous.
Okay. Yes, I share that. I share that. I am not. I don't, you know, I am adventurous, but I don't like to, I don't chase thrills. Like, I have no desire to chase any type of thrill. They like, oh, you want to do this? It's like, why? I don't find.
Why? Me. Exactly. Why?
Why are we doing this? So you don't get on roller coasters, Pam?
When I was young, I did. There was a point, I'll never forget it. I must have been in my mid-20s, and I went to a fair, one of those carnivals that come to town, with my sister. And I used to ride roller coasters like everybody else. And I got on this roller coaster. It's one of those ones that take you way up and then fling you around, spin you around, mm-hmm. right? And I got up there and started screaming. And I screamed so loud, so hard, that they had to stop the ride and bring it down and let me out. And I have not been on a roller coaster ever since.
Wow.
And the thing that was so funny, it was crazy, right? I was screaming so loud that when they finally stopped the ride, and they stopped it because there are things that they have to respond to, and that level
right.
of screaming, they have to respond to that. And so they brought me down, and when I got out of the little thing, the cage, whatever it was, half of the carnival was in line to get on that ride. And they were like, we want what she's having.
Wow. That's hilarious.
Ooh, I don't know what this couple's got going on, but I can tell Ed Wright's got something going on. I have never ridden a ride ever since. I swear, it was just that simple.
Okay.
You know, I am not adventurous.
No desire.
None.
And it's funny. I look at roller coasters around the world. I'm like, dang, we need to go to Japan and get on this ride. Dang, let's go to Ohio. Let's get on this ride. I'm like, I'll go, but you go ahead. I'm not getting on it.
No, I have the desire. I have a great love for history. So one of the things I want to do is I want to go to Rome. I want to see the Sistine Chapel. I want to look up and see Michelangelo's, you know, painting. I want to go to Greece. I want to see the arena. I want to see these things because I have a love for history, but I have no desire to ride in a chariot or jump out of a balloon or bungee jump, you know, from, you know, mount
the top of the Grand
something.
Canyon.
Absolutely. Yeah, right. You know. No, I would go to the Grand Canyon to look at it, take pictures of it, but there would be nothing there for me. None of that Thelma and Louise stuff for me.
It's
nothing
funny
there
because
for me.
I like that controlled chaos. Like, I will get on a roller coaster in a heartbeat, but I'm not bungee jumping or parasailing. I need to be encased
mm-hmm.
in some kind of metal casing. That's a false sense of security because if the track breaks, I'm going to die. But I need that false sense of security of metal and steel and electricity in order for me to have a good time. Because
mm-hmm.
every time I think about bungee jumping, I think, that's what it feels like to fall out of a window. and it's the same kind of sensation, but the bungee jump is like, no, it's not the same. You're like, you're falling out of a window.
Yeah, no.
I would say the most adventure I would like was like jumping from a plane. But then I always go back to me, and I'm like, nope, I don't want anybody in my back. I don't know parachutes. I don't. No, thank you. I'm full. No.
So what that brings to mind for me, the fact that you guys are photographers, are you ever, you know, find yourself in situations where there might be a sense of adventure in terms of the environment where you're, you know, taking pictures?
When we go guerrilla style, my heart is usually pumping. So that means like
– Explain guerrilla style.
A gorilla, when you go on guerrilla
– Thank you. Thank you.
It's like,
because I'm sitting here going gorilla style. Is that like what you do with your underwear? What?
No. It's like you don't have a permit. You're not supposed to be there.
You're not supposed to.
You're
be
not
safe.
Supposed to be there. So you have like you have to hurry up.
You have seconds to get the money
and
shot.
Hurry up and move fast and yeah.
Like
and
I've shot models naked on a train, in the subway station.
Yeah,
you have to get that shot before the cops come.
So hurry up before somebody can see you. Hurry up.
So those are our thrills.
Yeah, those are our thrills. We'll do that and then haul butt. Like, you got to run. It's like your heart rates so fast. And you just in the moment. And then when you're in the moment, you just enjoy it. I don't know. It's adventurous and it's cool. I think, I don't know, it's cool.
That's about as much excitement as we get.
There you go.
You know, it's funny. You know, I'm just so clear that that sounds exciting to me. You know, but I just can't imagine. I can't imagine going buck naked onto the subway because someone's trying to take my picture and they're going to take that picture and it's actually going to be in a magazine or something. And I'm just like, okay, stand over here or stand over here.
That's
like,
the New York
wow,
thing. That's,
yeah.
That's the energy of New York.
It's energy of New York and also a model thing because you got to imagine somebody is a walking mannequin. So they're good with their clothes on or off. They're like I'm comfortable. And a lot of times we're not shooting the what do you call it? We're not shooting for body parts. So it's more of
we're creating art.
Yeah, it's more of a
we're not shooting porn.
Yeah, so it's different.
Okay.
And then a lot of times the talent are very secure with themselves. They're and they know how we're going to shoot them. They trust you. It's a trust thing too.
That's the thing about gorilla. It looks gorilla style in the shooting, but the planning is meticulous.
Absolutely. So you'll know that around what midnight that there's going to be nobody on the last train because the people who are going to the clubs will be on the first three trains. So you try to go, let's go around one or you pay attention. You pay a lot of attention about what's going on. You pay attention to who, what, and what's going on.
You pay attention to the characteristics of the police. You know when they're going to be in a particular train station at a particular time, so we know that's not the train station we're going to go to. You know, we scout everything out before we do it. So, and we don't put ourselves in danger, so we're not going to put the models in danger because there's a level of trust there. They have to trust us.
Yes.
Yeah, because I would think that they would be, you know, in danger of someone jumping them or grabbing them or, you know.
Usually nobody else is there. It's just us.
You find an empty car.
Yes,
or we find them with not a lot of people in the car because you want the element of surprise in the shot as well.
Yeah, that's another thing too. It just depends on the moment. Or what you do is you bring your own people to add that element. And you sometimes you capture moments and sometimes you create moments. So you can create a moment by doing that, or you can create a moment by capturing people. You know, seeing somebody's naked on the train or. You can do, hey, I need a couple of my friends. I need all you guys to come and be a part of this and create that moment. So,
as a photographer, we made the comment to you earlier about capturing history, but we also are masters of illusion.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. We're creating an illusion at a moment. That's our job.
Or it's been times where you swear that she's naked and she's not. She actually has something that looks like a giant pad on. And, you know, all you see is, like, the side or the guy, he has on underwear, but you just pull his pants out a little bit and it looks like he has
photoshopped the underwear out.
Yeah, photoshopped the underwear out. It looks like he has no clothes on. It's never what you think. So
I got
cool
you.
The amazing part of photography is you telling the story and then the viewer – filling it in. So you'll have a photo and it'll just be of like on the car and then it'll be like, was he driving the car and then this happened and this happened? It's like, no. We were in the parking lot. What? Really? Yeah, that car was sitting there and it looked nice and it kind of went with it. What? It feels like that was his car and you went here, you went to this. It's like, no. So a lot of times people fill in the blanks. With their imagination, things that happen, or you know, we just tell a story and you just fill it in.
I see.
Think about your photo shoot, Pam. Nobody knew where we shot that.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I remember people were kind of glancing over like, what are they doing?
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. That's the magic of what we do.
That it is a magical world, and even in the face of everything that's going on, there's still conversations that can be generated. You don't have to throw your hands up and go, I guess I got to wait till this is over. There's actually an opportunity here for people to learn retouching, to learn what there is to do in light, to actually, you know, a lot of people are doing the Facebook Live. They're doing the whole, you know, Instagram. It's all about pictures. So there's something to be said for people who want to be in this world of photography and learning from the best. And, you know, we're talking tonight with two of the best photographers on the market, Day and Dallas, and together they are a dynamic duo, and you would do no worse than to have a connection with them to get yourself indoctrinated into this world of photography. It's a world of yes, it's the energy of yes. And, you know, I encourage you to reach out to them. Those of you who are listening, again, you can reach out to them by going on to their website and filling out a contact form. Dallas, why don't you give us your website URL again, and Dave?
Dallas's website is www.dallasjlogan.com. That's dallasjlogan.com. And Dave's, which is mine, is Day Howerton, which is DaeHowerton.com. And yeah, there's, if you look us up and you find me on everything, Day Howerton and Dallas J. Logan on like all social media platforms, all on Facebook, Instagram, you'll find us and you'll see our work and you'll see what we do. And drop a line, come say hi. We are like the coolest regular people ever. We love people. We love to communicate, and we love when people ask questions. We enjoy teaching as well as working. So if you look us up, find us, say hi, let us know that you heard us on the show, and light up our inboxes and come say hi.
Awesome. I highly recommend it. I can tell you myself personally, I had my headshots done by Day in Dallas, and I was profoundly moved by how I enjoyed looking at myself. A lot of times I'm one of those people that were looking at pictures of myself. And there, you know, I kind of captured this phrase when I was interacting with them, that they have a lover's lens. Because when they look through this incredible energy of love when they take pictures, and what you're present to when you look at the drafts, when they give you the picture proof, all you see is the love that they generated and the energy that they brought to the photo shoot. So you can do no better than to hook up with Day in Dallas and find out what you want to find out, whether or not you're somebody who's interested in being a photographer, or if you're interested in getting some training from them in the realm of photography and lighting and retouching, or whether or not you're looking for photographers. This is the city of light. This is the city of angels. If you're looking to get your picture taken so you can try your way in Hollywood, you can do no better than Day in Dallas. And I'm so excited that they were here on the show. Before you guys leave, we're getting down to the last few minutes of the show. I just wanted to make sure that if you did have a message for anybody out there who's listening, there's a couple of people who are listening who are being silent. They don't want to interact with you, but they're listening and they're on the. I tend to get a lot of audience from the East Coast for some strange reason, though I'm a West Coast gal. What would you say to them right now? You know, like they're thinking about what you're saying and they're quietly taking in everything you say. What do you want to leave them with this evening?
Oh my God, that's a good one. Hello, this is Dallas. Two things. Follow your dream and don't be scared.
Yeah.
Fear is the biggest killer of dreams.
Yes, it is.
This is Day. I would say
take a moment to fall in love. That's it. Just fall in love, whether it's with your job, your dog, and treat everybody with love and respect. It's so it's so important. It's so important because we don't have that today, and it's so needed. Love is in need of love today. So that's all I have.
Good. That's awesome. That is a beautiful message, and it kind of you know, drop the mic kind of thing. You've done well for yourselves, and you're like a beacon of light for photographers of color. You know, you have a lot to address inside of the realm of what it takes to make it in a realm where it's predominantly not of color. So I just wanted to put that out there as well, because there might be people who are experiencing that and wondering if there's any breakthrough in that arena. And if there is one, you guys certainly know what it is. So is there anything you want to speak to in that sense?
Absolutely. Lately, we've been seeing a lot more photographers of color doing amazing things. A lot of times they don't give us a chance. Like, they don't know that we're great photographers. They just, I don't know why we're counted out, but we are. On our, I'm not gonna say podcast, on our live, we did an interview with a photographer by the name of Loretta Houston, and she was the very first woman to be to ever photograph Sports Illustrated
swimsuit
edition, and she was the very first Black woman also.
Black
in general, woman or man. But,
so she's in the annals of history today.
Yeah. So right now,
so it's there. So it's at your taking.
Yeah, it's at your taking.
It's our time.
It's our time. If you want to say anything, if you want to do anything, you can do everything as long as you put your mind to it and believe in it and really work. Just understand, you're going to be working really, really hard for it, but it's worth it. It's so worth it. It's so worth it. I wouldn't change a thing. Yeah. Just do it.
Just do it. There really is nothing else to say. Just do it. Don't be afraid. Just be a yes. Say yes to life. Say yes to your dreams. Say yes. You know, so thank you so much for being on the show. I'm so proud of you guys. I'm so excited for what's next for you, for your future. And, you know, the other thing I want to say is that don't hesitate to reach out to the people who are here and let them know, you know, that you listen to the show, that you are excited about the opportunity to connect with them. And once again, before we complete, Day in Dallas, what is your contact information?
My contact information is dallas@dallasjlogan.com. Telephone number 917-586-4001.
And my day is dayhowerton.com. You can email me at day@dayhowerton.com.
All right, people. Thanks so much. We got another one in the can. The science of yes. We are complete for this evening. Check in with us next week and have a wonderful, wonderful evening and the rest of the week. Take care.
Thank
and
you.
Good
Thank
night.
You so much for having us. Thank you so much.
Oh, yeah. It was exciting. Good night.
Have a good night.